When John Robin Bates' family drama Other Desert Cities opened at Lincoln Center last season, it got rave reviews, and everyone expected it to be swiftly transferred to Broadway. It's taken a little longer than they originally planned, but the play is now on stage at the Booth Theater with a few cast changes, and critics have declared it, if anything, even stronger than before. I'm pleased to welcome to our show two of the stars of it, Starker Channing, who originated the role of Polly Wyeth, and Rachel Griffiths, who has stepped in on the role of Polly's daughter, Brooke. Welcome to our show.
Thank you.
Starker, why did it take so long for the transfer to happen? Was it hard to find a theater?
Yeah, I think, well, we closed, and there was a combination of elements. People had were not available. They had other commitments. The theaters were not available. It was approaching, you know, the deadline of Tony's, and there was that whole lemming-like rush at the end of the season. So it was really a question of logistics. And by the time that we could, they could form a schedule in the fall, both Linda Lavin and Beth Marvel were not available. So, I mean, it was just logistics.
But it winds up landing in one of the best theaters for a play like this.
Yeah.
The Booth, not too big, not too small.
Exactly. And they wanted the right theater, so we decided to wait.
But were you worried that the whole thing might fall apart?
No, I wasn't really, because there was such a rush, you know, such a tremendous amount of excitement around it. And it was a very calm adjustment. In the course, we had time in the course of the summer for Joe and Robbie to find replacements, especially for the part that Rachel's playing, which is a very large part. And she worked on it, right, all summer. I mean, yeah, because we met in August, and she was
It's the largest part of the play, isn't it, Rachel? I mean, you're on stage practically the whole time.
Yes. Which can be also easier, I think. The hardest part of the play actually is coming back after interval for me and maintaining the emotional intensity of the end of the first act. So I find it easy to kind of stay in like it's one long movie take.
Because the adrenaline is up.
Yeah.
And then when the adrenaline goes down, you got to get back up to where it was when you walked off the stage at the end of the first act.
That's right, and also just kind of feeling the space of the theater and having not done theater for 8 years of, you know, it takes me the first scene to really place my voice in that room, you know, in a way that I know I can be heard, but I'm not yelling, and I have to start that all over again. I guess as the run goes on, I might be more comfortable with that.
But. Oh, you look quite comfortable.
Thank you.
Most of our listeners know you from TV, the series 6 Feet Under, and more recently Brothers and Sisters, and this is your Broadway debut. Obviously, you've done theater elsewhere, but nobody would have ever have guessed that you look like you've been doing Broadway shows all along.
Well, it's, you know, the great advantage of being a colonial, similar to my movie career, is that I could kind of do things in private and learn in private, and then occasionally, you know, you catapult out as this fully formed being, and everybody kind of thinks like, wow, that's the first time she's done it. But no, I did the lead in Proof in Australia in The Doll's House, and Sylvia on Rollerblades, quite famously, quite a diverse background. But I could do all that out of the pressure and the glare of this big city. So, yeah.
Well, did you do Proof with an American accent? You've played many American characters now that people probably don't even realize you're Australian.
Am I speaking an Australian accent now?
Tiniest
bit. Oh, God. Now I'm going to put it on because now you've made yourself
funny. You know, Charlize Theron decided that since her career is in the United States, that she's just going to speak with an American accent.
Yeah. Well, if I had a South African accent, I'd probably not
do that.
But no, that's cruel. But yes, no, I do have an Australian accent. But after a double show yesterday, it's probably a little stronger.
The playwright of this play, John Robin Bates, is the creator of Brothers and Sisters. Did he ask you to take this role?
He did, very unexpectedly. I flew over to see the production at Lincoln Center in January, halfway through the last season of Brothers and Sisters, which I was in a kind of state of exhaustion and felt like I'd been acting copies of facsimiles of prints of a true emotion. And I came over to see the show and was so blown away. And I felt like it was a DNA injection, going back to the first conversations I had with Robbie 5 years ago about what we wanted Brothers and Sisters to be, about the American family, about the American nuclear family, about the new American family and what that was. So to see that production was, it was just such a jolt to me about what good acting looked like, Stockard, and the company was so extraordinary. Elizabeth was wonderful. And I took that back, never thinking that I would get that call, and he called me and I said, Robbie Bates, are you calling to offer me the Australian rights to your play Other Desert Cities? And he said, no, I'm ringing to see if you'd like to do Broadway. And It was a great moment in my life.
Well, this is about an American family, not atypical. I mean, it's atypical in some ways, but it's not surprising to find a family where the parents' politics are very different than their children's. Starkad, can you tell us about your character, Polly Wyeth?
Gee. Well, I mean, this play, for those people who haven't seen it, is really about secrets.
Well, they're going to see it after they hear this conversation.
You know, and all families have secrets. All lives have secrets. And I think the play is really about the balance between open access to all information and the other extreme, shall we say, of, you know, select information, the realpolitik versus, you know, WikiLeaks, if you will, in the broader spectrum. But it takes place within the context of a family history and then also a political history of this time, starting in, I think, the late 70s or something.
Well, the Vietnam War is key here. But yeah, it goes back earlier. Yeah. You and your sister were screenwriters.
Right.
And your
Texas,
husband, Stacy Keach,
Jewish,
was a movie actor.
Republican. Let's see what else. You know, and my husband, an ex-movie star, both Republicans. My son, who is a producer of kind of a sort of reality, neo-reality TV, and then my daughter, who has had emotional problems after a very, you know, promising career as a novelist, and it goes on from there.
New York theatergoers know you as a stage actress, but many people also will recognize you as First Lady Abby Bartlett on TV's The West Wing. Did that prepare you in any way for the role of Polly Wyeth? Because although Polly is a Republican and Abby was a Democrat, they both cut from the same cloth in some ways, aren't
they?
Oh,
I don't think so. I think...
Politicians' wives?
I think there's a depth of passion in Polly that we really don't understand at the beginning. I think she's quite ferocious. And she's had a different life experience, shall we say, than Abigail. Abigail was a much more contained human being, I think. But, you know, it's hard to say. This play actually explores areas of personality that something in The West Wing never did. So it's hard to say what cloth they're both cut from.
Ursula, you play Brooke, and as we said, you're one of two replacements in a cast of five. Is that odd coming into a play where the other three actors have been doing this for a while?
I didn't find it odd. I found the task intimidating, and I never underestimated the weight of the role and the weight of what I needed to do in order to support the incredible job that the remaining cast had been doing and not let it down. But I think fitting in is easy for me. In some ways, I think. It was easier having seen the play and understood on that molecular level, receiving it as an audience, and that's all I was. I was just one of, you know, as we say, the bums on the seats, just lapping it up. I had this sense of this miraculous evening and a trust in it, and I had a trust in Joe and in Robbie's words and you know, more than trust.
I think also that it was a totally new experience for all of us going into a proscenium space.
You'd been in a thrust stage before.
Small theater, like 200. And we all had that experience. And it
because,
was a good
well,
one.
Well, how much of an adjustment do you have to make? A thrust stage means the audience is around you on three sides, all
right.
around,
right.
except the back.
Yeah,
and now suddenly you're on a proscenium stage.
It's fascinating. I thought the task was that it wouldn't seem as intimate, and oddly enough, it seems more intimate. I think before, the problem was you'd look at an actor and you'd have this intense moment, and you'd see 10 people brightly lit behind them because of spill off the set. And I never quite realized the limitations of that until we got into the proscenium. And I think in the proscenium, the audience is everyone is seeing the same play. And the energy that comes from this audience is fantastic. Obviously, the laughs are very precise and very big, but even the gasps that you hear. And so the five of us, I think it's a different experience to come into, you know, a play that has been running and we all understand it. But this, for all of us, it was an adjustment. So it's kind of, you know, so skating things, crack the whip, and people going round and round in the ice, and then one person has to... go, you know, get onto the tail of Crack the Whip. But once they're there, So with Rachel, I think, you know, it's a daunting task, but she had all the stuff to learn. But when she learned it, we were all had the same learning curve at the end.
But a lot of
she's
actors
nice
tell
to
me,
say that. I don't think that's entirely true, but thank you, Stugger.
A lot of actors tell me they prefer not to see somebody else who's originated a role simply because then they have to contend with it. On the other hand, if you're playing Hamlet, it's hard not to have seen other people
no, that's
play
right.
the part.
And I, again, you know, going back to that colonial thing, I've never had, you know, the privilege to say I invented the role. You know, I was in the Sisters Rosenzweig in Melbourne, having never been to New York in my entire life. I mean, playing that character, I had no idea really who those people were.
Funny, you don't look Jewish.
Believe you me, I'm
She's
not.
She's only half Jewish, you see.
But so I've never, I have never placed any stock in, am I the replacement, am I the fill-in? You know, I'm just another actor in the line of many who have sought to find, discover, convey, communicate the truth and beauty and love of this role. But I think what seeing it did, especially I had a very truncated rehearsal period, it was 2 weeks, and having seen Elizabeth nail it in the way she did is that she made it perfectly clear to me what mountains needed to be climbed. It just inescapable. I just knew I had to do that, and I didn't know how I was going to do it, but she kind of paved the way.
Now, the play you mentioned, Starkert, gets a lot of laughs. It's also it's a serious play, and there's a tragic side to it.
Yeah.
And I've always wondered about that, getting laughs in a situation that is really very powerful and very sad.
Well, you know, Joe said to us, and it seems so simple, but it often these...
Joe Mantello, director.
The director, as we were in preview, getting in front of this new audience, et cetera, and in this new space, he said, it's the most basic thing of acting. You really start at the beginning, and you go to the end. You listen to each other, you talk to each other, you think your thoughts, because you don't anticipate. And when we do that, the audience's response... It puts us a big log on the fire. It just pumps everything up. So I think the laughs are bigger, and we don't even have to work very hard for the tragic or sad moments, because the audience has gone on this huge roller coaster ride with us. Whereas in the smaller space, it was sometimes we were limited a bit, and we felt more theatrical. Oddly enough, when we didn't paint the extremes as much, because you couldn't get. You couldn't. I can't explain it because these people were in the room with you.
Well, the play forces us to take sides at different times, and we find ourselves shifting in whose side we're going to take, and that's part of the fun. And then a wisecrack, which might have seemed nasty at another time, suddenly seems like, yeah, I would have said something like that.
Well, that's where I think contemporary writing really resides, and the best contemporary writing in film and television and theater is where we don't differentiate a world in which there are no jokes versus a world in which there is no pain and tragedy. And I think Robbie really just delivers this incredibly condensed, searing slice of life in which all emotions are in play at any time and can switch effortlessly between one and the other.
And he also gives every character their due in terms of their position, which is interesting, political or whatever. And as Joe Mantello also pointed out, and as Robbie as well, these are incredibly verbal people. Mm-hmm. They maybe slice and dice each other a little bit, but they're really fun to listen to. But you got to keep your ears open.
We should mention the other cast members because they're all quite wonderful. Stacey Keach, who plays your husband, and was in the original production, as was Thomas Sadowski, who in an odd way is the linchpin of the whole thing. He is...
He's a bit of the moral
the
center.
The pivotal character there. And Judith Light, who has taken over for Linda Lavin and...
Wonderfully.
And plays the part quite differently.
Yeah.
But I was wondering about that hiatus. Did that give you a chance to think about this character? Did she deepen at all for you?
I think she deepened with the performances. I didn't think about it. I wonder if I can remember all those lines. And I sat down with somebody. I said, okay, just keep me. I said, my God, 95% of them were there in the back of my brain. But you know, it's really like a basketball game. You know, until Rachel was there and Linda was there, I mean, it's dribble, dribble, pass, pass, basket, basket. I mean, you've got to find out. You've got to play the game yourself. You can't speculate before. And I have a different daughter. I have a slightly different daughter. That's fine. I have, you know.
You used to react to her a little bit.
Yeah, I think so. But, you know, as I said, the audience is a part of it. It tells you how far you can go.
Now, actors often tell me that they don't read their reviews. But if you have, you have to be pleased. Ben Brantley of the New York Times called Rachel's performance a beautifully modulated Broadway debut. And he said of you, Stockard, this is quite possibly the performance of your career.
I don't read reviews. Thank you so much. You see, somehow it all comes back to you.
Well, it could have been a lot worse.
I know that sounds disingenuous, but it's absolutely true. Because as someone said to me, if you read the good ones, you got to read the bad ones. And I don't want to read any of them because it makes you self-conscious. You know, it's one thing in a film. You say, oh, they cut it together and I got away with it. Isn't that great? But, you know, we got to get up in the morning and show it start at the beginning and go all the way through it.
And if a critic says, Stockard Channing delivered this line just perfectly, then the next time you go out there, yeah. You're thinking, oh, gee, yeah. Am I going to do it as well?
Yeah, exactly.
So how long is the run? Do we know?
Well, officially now at this point, it's till January 8th. And we'll see if we can all organize ourselves to move on or not. But that's sort of in flux at the moment. But January 8th for now.
Rachel, have you ever been to Palm Springs, where the play takes place?
I have, actually. I spent quite a bit of time there. It is a kind of mystical, retro oasis frozen in time in the desert. And coming from another country, it's the people you see there are quite extraterrestrial.
Terrestrial.
Extraterrestrial. Who are these people, I said when I...
Yeah,
when I
arrived. The set really captures Palm Springs.
Oh, I know. It's fantastic,
isn't it? I think it's wonderful for East Coast audiences to see a West Coast world of this intelligence and sparkle, especially at this time of the year. And usually when these political erudite people are depicted, they live in Connecticut or they're power brokers in Washington. It's very exotic. And audiences, when the lights come up on this beautiful set of this, you know, Lautner-esque house, there's a kind of an excitement in the audience that they're going to be somewhere for the night they've never been.
Especially in the dead of winter.
Stockard Channing, Rachel Griffiths, who along with Stacy Keach, Thomas Sadowski, and Judith Light are starring in a new production of Other Desert Cities at the Booth Theater at 222 West 45th Street. Thank you both so much for being with us
today.
Thank
you so much.